Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Thursday, March 30th. I'm Ray Graff. Well, a big weekend for sports ahead, and we turn our attention to the hardwood and the diamond. Final four for the men's and women's NCAA basketball tournaments up for this weekend. We have Major League Baseball season getting underway on Sunday. To talk basketball and baseball and more, yachting, Mark McGuire of the Daily Gazette and Ashley Miller of News Channel 13. And we want to hear from you, so give us a call at 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Buzzer beaters, opening day, your calls, your emails, all coming up on Vox Pop right after the news. Why, hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. The best of college basketball will be on display this weekend as the men's and women's tournaments head into their final rounds. And if that isn't enough for sports fans, opening day of Major League Baseball is Sunday. We have two sports reporters in the studio today to talk basketball, baseball, maybe even the NFL draft. In fact, one of the reporters has annoyingly mentioned the draft several times. And speaking of that annoying person, Mark McGuire is here. He's the executive sports editor for the Daily Gazette in Schenectady. Also, a newbie on this program, sports photojournalist Ashley Miller of News Channel 13 is here. Mark and Ashley, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Great to be back.
It's nice to see you again. Yeah. Well, you know what, Ashley? Now, it's new for you, so I don't want you to get nervous sitting next to McGuire. All right.
You've already introduced him as annoying, which to me is pretty funny.
Spot so on, right?
We're off to a good start.
Yeah, our great to have another Syracuse person sitting next to me. Instead of Irizo.
Our number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551, or you can email the program voxpop@wamc.org. VoxPop@WAMC.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. Okay, big doings coming up. Let's start with the NCAA Women's Final Four. It'll be held in Dallas starting tomorrow night. Stanford plays South Carolina. And then at 9:30, Mississippi State against UConn. And how could anyone bet against UConn?
I'm not, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's going to be UConn, which we got to see against UAlbany.
Yep.
Obviously, not even close in competition, but one of the best passing teams I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking women's team, one of the best passing teams I've ever seen.
They would beat the Knicks eight times out of ten.
Yeah, one of the funnier tweets I've seen is Golden State would win in seven against them. They're just a tremendous team. They're not the most talented team compared to past UConn teams, but an incredible team nonetheless.
So why the dynasty? They won, 100-plus games in a row?
Yep.
Why the dynasty? Is it just because of the name and the recruiting, or is there some secret that we are maybe don't look at?
It's Gino Auriemma,
yep,
for one.
Yeah.
And the second is he doesn't recruit anymore. He selects.
Yeah.
And we were talking about this the other day, actually. I think it's tough for – you almost need to get – there needs to be a group of women brave enough – And there needs to be more than one. So maybe two, three, four of the best players in the country who are going to say, all right, let's go to Stanford so we can beat UConn. Otherwise, these girls, when they get recruited by Gino Auriemma, it's, do I want to win a national championship? And if the answer is yes, I have to go to UConn. Because right now, no one but UConn is winning a national championship.
Is this good for basketball or bad for basketball?
No. I think it's bad for women's basketball.
I think it's good for women's basketball because we are attracted as fans to dynasties, and you know what? You want to beat the best. You're captivated to be the best. And to be honest, if it wasn't for UConn, how much did we talk about women's basketball? We didn't. They put it on the map, and now you have something to shoot for. You have a target.
But now it's on the map. And I wonder, you know, growing up in the 70s, as we did, Mark, there were teams that were universally despised by everyone except in their home markets because they were so good all the time. Is UConn despised around the nation except in this area?
I think, to Mark's point, it's good that we're talking about it, but we've been talking about UConn for the past 20 years.
Yeah.
Like, it's about time to start talking about someone else is my feeling, and I think it's just the process seems to be too slow for me for other teams to be able to catch up, and at this point it doesn't feel like anyone's even close, and I think that part is bad for women's basketball because no one goes into these games, in my opinion, thinking like, oh, did UAlbany think they were going to beat them? Well, they said they did, but I don't think anyone's going to beat UConn when they play UConn. I don't see any team beating UConn, whether it's Stanford, Notre Dame. Just to me, my automatic inclination is to say, well, UConn's going to win. And I think that's a bad spot.
They are going to lose eventually.
Eventually, yep.
Eventually they will
lose. In our lifetimes?
Sure. They lost a couple years ago. 4 years ago. And Baylor won the national title with Brittany Griner. But again, you're going to have teams that are going to come up. I mean, you're going to look back to when UConn started this run under Gino Auriemma. They were nothing. They had never won anything. He built that program from scratch.
Yep.
So there's nothing to say that a Baylor could rise. Stanford under Tara Vanderveer, who was born in?
Troy.
Schenectady.
All right, close enough.
There you go. A Stanford could rise to a level of UConn. Or another program we're not even thinking of right now. Could rise to a level of the UConn.
But will it take a level of collusion to make that? I mean, in the 50s, they said, break up the Yankees, the Yankees. Will it take actual collusion to make that happen?
I don't think it happens as long as Gino's there.
Well, that eventually will end.
Sure, but when? 10, 15 years?
Yeah, you make a point. Our number here is 800-348-2551. My computer went down. However, I can see on the screen that we'll go to, well, let's just call Saul. Saul, you're on the road and you're on the line. Hello.
Hi, good afternoon. I have a question that's been bugging me for years now. You listen to baseball games, and you hear the sports announcers talk about lefties are good for sinkers or curveballs or low balls or whatever. And I've always wondered, why shouldn't the mechanics for a left-handed pitcher and a right-handed pitcher be identical, other than the fact that they come from across different sides of the plate? Why should a left-hander favor one certain type of pitcher a pitch and a right-hander favor another kind of pitch?
I've been wondering that for 40 years, but Mark McGwire knows everything.
That is a great question, because this is the cousin of a question I always had, which is, why are lefties better as hitters hitting low pitches and righties are better at hitting high pitches? Mechanically, they should mirror each other, but they don't. I wish I had an answer to that. I wish I could live up to Ray saying I know everything, but I don't have an answer for this one.
Thankfully, Ashley is here, and I know you have the answer to this.
Yeah, sure. I was never a pitcher in my softball days. The only thing that I can think of is that, and this is going to be for right-handed versus left-handed, but pitches appear to come at you differently from one side of the plate than the other. You know what I mean? It doesn't necessarily make sense, but more hitters are right-handed than left-handed.
So it's all illusion.
So, and it's what you see more of, yeah. So I think you more often see, and this is changing, right-handed pitching versus left-handed pitching. So when a lefty has a good pitch, I think it's just you don't see it quite as often, and now that's changing. But I think that's also just how you see pitches and how often you see them.
All right, Saul, what do you think?
Okay. Oh, I think it's – so basically it's a myth.
Well, sure. There you go, man. Well, thanks a lot for the call. 800-348-2551. Mark McGwire of the Daily Gazette in Schenectady is here. Ashley Miller of News Channel 13. Ashley, you said you played softball.
I did.
How long did you play?
My whole life, until right through college.
You played through college.
Yep.
I watched a lot of it in the fall. How do you throw a curveball when you're a softball pitcher?
Sure. Well, the same way that you would. It's all grip.
Yeah.
I mean, for softball pitchers, the curveball is effective, but I would say, unlike in baseball, there's a drop ball and there's a rise ball. And I would say the most effective pitch in softball is a rise ball, and there's nothing like it in baseball. You've seen, like, baseball players go up against a Jenny Finch and just try to hit the ball.
Yeah.
She'll throw a rise ball, and they've never seen anything like it, and they never come close to it because the ball takes off so late, and it's just so very different. But it's all grip, in the same way that it's all grip for a baseball pitcher. You're just coming underhanded, so you have the ability to make a ball rise, as opposed to if you're coming overhanded, you're not going to make a ball rise.
I mean, there are some submariners. I mean, Kent Colvey comes to mind for the Pirates.
And they're somewhat, but you see the more of the underhanded, that's how they get it to rise, is because they have more almost in between a softball and baseball pitch.
Yeah. And why the dirt on the infield? That's the other thing I want to know about softball fields. Why?
I don't know, Mark. Any idea?
It makes sense.
I mean, actually,
if you go to other countries, there's dirt on baseball diamonds.
Truer hop. For me, it seems a truer hop than grass.
Yeah. You don't get that in-between hop. Yep. I mean, it's just the way it's always been.
Our number is 800-348-2551, and Graham in Albany is on. Graham.
Hi. How's it going?
Well, okay.
Okay, great. Well, I was just calling because I wanted to ask about the Frozen Four. Haven't heard anything about hockey, and we've got some great teams out here, Union and RPI, and I know they're both out, but still some great hockey to be played.
Yeah, well, we just had news today that Mike Vecchione is one of the three finalists in the Hattrick Memorial. He's up for the Hobey Baker Award. We tend to be in this local market once the local teams get out. We tend to lose focus on the NCAA tournament and the Frozen Four. We're very much concentrated on the Unions and the RPIs, and RPIs obviously searching for a new head coach. I will not be sending any reporters to Chicago, for example, since none of the local teams are in it. But it will be. It is always a college hockey is always fascinating, and it doesn't get its due. It gets lost in the shuffle of basketball, but it is always a captivating tournament.
And why do you think that is? Is it just is basketball a better TV sport?
It's just more. Just more fans.
Yeah, I mean, more money involved in the sport. Period. I mean, gambling always has something to do with that, and you know, the idea of a bracket and everyone has kind of their piece and involvement in it, and it's just not the same.
Speaking of the bracket, mine was shot very early. Ooh. Let's talk about the NCAA men's right after we take a break. It's 800-348-2551. Ashley Miller is here from News Channel 13, and Mark McGuire from the Daily Gazette. We talk sports today, and we'll be back.
Support comes from Harold's Ice Cream, Thorne's Marketplace, Old South Street, downtown Northampton, Massachusetts. Dairy and No-Moo dairy-free, handmade artisan ice cream, sweet baked goods, hot fudge, and more. Harold's.com. Real Seafood Company, Wolf Road Colony, locally owned seafood restaurant and raw bar, realseafoodco.com. Agricultural Stewardship Association, helping people conserve farmland in the Upper Hudson Valley. They conserve good farmland for good forever. agstewardship.org. Grapes and Grains Wine and Spirits, East Greenbush, New York, offering wine and craft spirits from around the globe and from local artisans, hand-picked selections of wines, single malts, and small-batch bourbons. GrapesandGrainsWine.com. The Lathrop Communities, serving older adults in the Quaker tradition, independent living on two campuses in Northampton and East Hampton, Massachusetts, lathrop.kendall.org. And Saratoga Jewish Community Arts, presenting the life and times of Hank Greenberg, the first Jewish baseball player, Sunday, April 2nd, 7 p.m. at Temple Sinai. Panel discussion and reception to follow. 518-581-8730 for details.
It's Vox Pop on WAMC, 800-348-2551. Ray Graff here, joined today by Ashley Miller of News Channel 13 and Mark McGuire, executive sports editor of the Daily Gazette in Gesnectedy. And our number, once again, is 800-348-2551. NCAA Men's Final Four in Phoenix. I lost some interest when University of Arizona was bounced out unceremoniously. The surprising seventh-seeded South Carolina takes on Gonzaga at 6:09, I believe. Is that Friday, right?
Saturday.
And then Oregon and North Carolina, that tip-off set for 8:49. The winners will play Monday. What do we think, panel? I'll go with you, Ashley.
Sure.
You seem to be smarter than
McGuire. Which game do we want here? We'll start with the first game.
Boy, that's hard.
Gonzaga?
Yeah.
Listen, the more that I've watched South Carolina, and this is one of those Cinderella stories, the more that I believe that they're a very good team. I just think they'll compete, no doubt. I don't know that they'll have the inside presence to deal with a guy like Karnowski, who's presented a lot of trouble for a lot of people. But I love South Carolina. And one thing that I actually noticed that I thought was interesting when I was looking up some information on these four teams is all four teams remaining have the conference player of the year on their respective teams.
That's very interesting.
Which, you know, says a little bit of something about, you know, listen, there are certain players who have that it factor, and maybe having that one player, it can make a difference down the line.
And it is a really fascinating matchup in that game because they're both intense defenses. Mm-hmm. South Carolina is not like press Virginia, you know, press the ball,
right.
Pressing all
full
over
court,
the court.
Yeah.
But they do present some matchup difficulties for Gonzaga that could get them out of rhythm in their offense. Could.
Mm-hmm.
But it does. If you look at it on the other end, say Gonzaga with their defense could very much do the same to South Carolina, which why you have to. I agree with Ashley. You have to get the edge to Gonzaga.
You know, it's funny. I've been writing off Gonzaga for weeks, months,
and I think
fact.
A lot of people have.
I mean, I watched the Pac-12 Network. Mm-hmm. We watched virtually every University of Arizona game, and my wife's an alum, and so we watch every game. And even in the Pac-12 championship, Bill Walton says, well, Gonzaga doesn't even deserve to be number one because they play in a I won't use the colorful term he used,
sure. But
a division that is lesser than the Pac-12. Mm-hmm. And here they are in the Final Four. I never would have thought they made it this far.
And I thought they should have been a one seed because I thought they had enough quality wins to be given the benefit of the doubt. I understand that they play in a lesser conference in the West Coast Conference, but I thought they had enough wins against the Zonas of the world to be granted a one seed. And listen, I think people have picked against them, and they've still, if it's possible, been an underrated one seed. And
yeah. All
they've done, while two of the other one seeds have disappeared, have made it to the Final Four. So I think people will continue to pick against Gonzaga until they're hanging a banner somewhere.
People look at them as sort of like the Colorado Rockies mm-hmm. of the NCAA. Their stats are inflated. Their wins are inflated.
Right. Yep. And the other team, I thought, and frankly, it's the second game, Oregon and North Carolina. Oregon I've been writing off for quite some time, too. I know that they're a powerful team, but every time I've seen them, meh, you know, I can't see them having much of a chance.
And then one of their star players goes down with an injury right
yep.
before
yeah,
tournament.
And here they are.
It's still here.
And that'll be a big difference maker in this game in terms of size, because Oregon, other than Chris Boucher, is not a big team.
The question is, does North Carolina go small to match that?
No, I wouldn't.
They don't have to.
Right. I mean, I was reading, everyone is 6'4 or under on the Oregon team. I think four of Carolina's five starters are 6'6 or over.
Yeah.
And it's 6'7, 6'8, 6 through 6'10. So you have that kind of size advantage and that ability to rebound offensively in particular, but defensively as well. I think you gotta do what suits you best, and that's hitting the boards.
And Jordan Bello had eight blocked shots in his last game. We'll have to have the game of his life because he's going to have to be a one-man wrecking crew for Oregon to just be the one tree in the forest for the Ducks.
Yeah.
Mark McGuire is here, Ashley Miller, and you at 800-348-2551. And back to the phones we go. We go over to John in Newburgh. John, you're on.
Hey, good afternoon. Thank you, panel, under Mr. Coach Graff's tutelage. I'm a topic behind the spin on the ball. So imagine throwing a baseball with your left hand and your middle finger, and your forefinger and your middle finger will direct a spin. Imagine doing the same thing with your right hand. And I believe, albeit it's subject to everyone's discussion, that the spin will be in another direction. So I just wanted to make that comment. Thank you all for taking the call, and I'll listen to your response.
Thanks a lot, John. We appreciate it.
Which is why a righty can't throw a screwball.
And which is why it makes sense. It's almost as though you're seeing it opposite of, so if you're used to seeing a right-handed pitcher throw a curveball, you see a left-handed pitcher throw it, it's coming with the opposite spin, so it's going to do not necessarily exactly the opposite, but it's going to move certainly differently.
A lefty's curveball breaks to the right.
Yep.
A righty's curveball breaks to
the left.
Much was made, and I forget where I saw it, but I know I didn't imagine it. The physicist says there could be no such thing as a true curveball. It can't really happen.
Tell him to step up to the plate.
Yeah, try to hit it.
I've seen enough games in person where you say, well, look at the break on that. It's a 12-6. Let's go to line number three, and David and Troy. David, you're on.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. I had two things just happened to chance on the discussion about the difference between lefties and righties.
Yeah.
There is a difference. They are not mirror images. The motor control neurons in the brain in a lefty are closer to the center of the brain than they are in a righty.
What?
I love coming on AMC.
That's
this
public
place
radio.
Is awesome.
So, David, how do you know this?
Well, I did some research after I had a lot of problems at work when I was younger, and every time somebody tried to show me how to do something, and he was a lefty, I couldn't duplicate it as a righty.
I'll be darned.
And I went and I did some research long ago, so it was actually library research. I do not have the bibliography with me anymore.
Well, that's okay. We're not going to have you cite references anyway. That's all right.
Well,
that's interesting.
That is
basically, they
awesome.
Do things differently.
Well, we have never heard that on a sports show here and maybe anywhere in the world.
That gets a tennis clap.
All right. Well done, David.
Well done.
800-348-2551. Another David here, and let's hope David can match that level of greatness. David in Johnstown, you're next.
No, I was going to write Mark and ask him to explain, people fill out these cards or something like that for the Final Four? I don't know what it's called.
Yeah, the brackets.
Brackets, okay. Now, who runs that? Does Las Vegas?
No. It's your guy Tony in the back room.
All right.
That's what I thought. Who does run it?
Everybody does it. Everybody does it. As long as you're not taking money off the top, it's fine.
No VIGs allowed.
No VIG. VIG is vigorish. As long as you're not taking money to run a pool, you're fine. That's why it's legal.
Are you sure it's legal?
Yeah.
Are you positive?
Yeah.
I bet you some state attorneys general would say, no, that's not legal.
No, as long as you're not making money to operate it, it's fine.
Okay.
Which also contributes to why the NCAA tournament has become so popular. It's become very easy to gamble on.
Mm-hmm.
And gambling is what fuels the NCAA tournament. It fuels the NFL. It's why the NFL is skyrocketing in popularity. A lot of the popularity in different sports, it always comes down to the dollar.
All right. What happens if, Jim in transportation, he runs a pool, he doesn't pay off. What happens there? Who breaks whose leg?
Well, you know, that's a long story, and that's a whole other
show. I'm
sorry. David, thanks a lot for that one. Presumably there would have to be brackets in Las Vegas if you went to a casino.
You can go to a sports book and bet on particular games. I don't know that you could fill out a bracket necessarily, how that would work.
You could bet on pretty much anything.
Yeah,
it's still fun. I mean, I go to the ESPN site or Yahoo or whatever, and not $1 do I put in, mm-hmm. but it's still fun to see my brackets be crushed in the first round as as it was this time around.
I believe out of the 18 point something million ESPN brackets that were filled out, there were 650 that had the correct Final Four.
And that doesn't mean perfect by any, you know what I mean? I'm sure none of those were perfect on the way to get there. But I thought that was a lot for how many, the Final Four is.
It was one out of every 350,000 brackets filled out.
Still pretty good.
That is good. And some billionaire last year, I don't know about this year, put up $1 million.
Warren Buffett
had a perfect bracket, and nobody had it.
One guy had 31 out of 32 and got $100,000.
Well, that's impressive.
It's not bad.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. Major League Baseball kicks off on Sunday. It's hard to believe. Yankees will visit Tampa Bay Rays to kick off the season at 1:00, 1:10 on Sunday afternoon.
How depressing is that? You have opening day. It's a traditional start of the season,
the
rebirth,
Reds.
And it's indoors in the most depressing place you could possibly play baseball, Tampa Bay. That's just wrong.
It's unfortunate.
What do you want me to say?
Say you're sorry.
We didn't make it up.
I didn't make that up. later on, San Francisco Giants play Arizona, and the Cubs will take on St. Louis. That's a great
game.
That's a
good one. Yep. That's fun.
The Mets will host the Braves on Monday. Pirates are going to visit the Red Sox. Now, why would you start a season with interleague play?
Yeah, I don't love that either.
Interleague play is an abomination to begin with, and to start a season that way is ridiculous.
They've now taken all the demarcation of interleague play out. They do it throughout the course of the year. Mm-hmm. So to them, there's no significance to it whatsoever. It's just another game on the schedule, which is unfortunate, but it is what it is. That argument has been lost. Mm-hmm. So there are other arguments to be had.
How good are the Red Sox?
If they're healthy, they're good. I mean, I think their infield outfield is really good, but they need David Price.
And what is David Price's status right now?
He's up in the air right now. They have a couple other issues right now. They're very thin at first base with sickness and injury. Moreland, obviously.
Sickness?
Yeah. There's a whole sickness going through the clubhouse.
Oh, but that's just a temporary. It's a flu
or something? Yeah, but they also have some injury concerns. It's temporary, too, but it also shows some of the depth they have, depth issues they have at first base. The Sox are going to contend with the Indians. It's going to be a two-horse field for dominance in the American League this year. I mean, there are going to be other teams that are going to be good. The Astros are going to be good this year.
Yankees, and of course I'm not a Yankees fan, but the Yankees don't have a chance to unseat the Sox? I say they do.
Absolutely not.
Why?
The Yankees are looking at 2018. Think of the Yankees this year as the Yankees in 1994. They were looking down, and you had all those kids down in Albany that you sort of heard about, this Jeter guy and Mariano guy and Bernie Williams guy.
But these guys are here. Bird is here.
I was going to say yes and no because I think some of them are here.
Some are.
But aside from Masahiro Tanaka, I think their starting rotation is going to be a lot of question marks. Like when CeCe Sabathia is your third starter, meh.
They're not going to compete. When the guys like Gleyber Torres comes up, who's going to be their shortstop.
Yeah.
I'm confused about the Yankees, however, and their pitching depth, because last week they dumped John Neese, who is, for all his whining and belly aching, is a serviceable left-hander. Barely. And the Yankees thought they had enough pitching that they didn't need him.
He's a barely serviceable starter. They have, and the Yankees have plenty of barely serviceable starters.
Sure.
They have depth up. They don't have a bona fide number 2 through 3, 4.
Yeah.
I mean, they could put, you know, guys like Warren out there, Sabathia out there. But going back, the Yankees are not looking at this season. They're looking at 2018. They're looking at that free agent class that's coming up, you know, with your future Yankee Bryce Harper.
You think that's going to happen?
I mean, you might as well call him future Yankee Bryce Harper.
Good. Get him out of the National League.
Or Manny Machado.
Who's another.
Make it Bryce Harper. That's good. Get him off the Nationals. That would be very good for the Mets.
I'll take Machado over Harper. I'm a Yankees fan.
Oh, are you? Yeah. I think the Mets.
You would really?
Yeah.
You would take Machado over?
I would.
Why would you take that?
I just.
He had one bad year.
Yeah, I like Machado.
I like Machado too, but I think I would take Harper.
Oh yeah, you haven't seen enough of Harper.
To each his own. No, yeah. I have. I don't. I'm not a huge fan of the personality. I don't love the personality, and I know that's
because Machado's
whatever.
So warm and cuddly,
huh? Yeah.
Oh,
he's
come on.
Right.
He's an unctuous jerk. He'd be perfect for the
Bronx.
He's
talented. There you go.
Well, on that happy note, we won't talk about the Mets right now. You know what? I'll get too upset. But I think the Mets are actually set for a good season. With health, they will compete. Let's go to Kevin in High Falls. Kevin.
Yeah, hi. I was calling to offer a thought about the advantage that left-handers enjoy in baseball. I've often thought that it was associated with the fact that the offense is initiated at first base. And a lot of the attention is focused there. That if a batter had to go to third base to initiate the offense, it would be the opposite. I was wondering if your panelists had any thoughts on that.
All right, panelists.
Well, there's definitely a speed factor involved that lefty hitters get to first base faster. Mm-hmm. There's positional advantages for left-handers at pitcher. Lefties dominate left-handed hitters more than right-handers dominate right-handed hitters. First base, certainly, and to a lesser extent, right field. So, I mean, put it this way. If I had a kid who I could teach how to switch hit or I could only teach him how to hit one way, I would teach him to hit lefty.
Go ahead.
Again, the thought I had was, do you think it would be different if the batter had to go toward third base initially instead of first base with the game? With the advantage switched to the right hander.
You mean like half the 5-year-olds I coached in softball?
Or Jim Pearsall.
Those are the kids I'd be talking about.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks.
All right, thanks a lot for the call. Our number is 800-348-2551. Ashley Miller of News Channel 13 is here, and Mark McGuire of the Daily Gazette. Linda in Lanesboro, Mass. Linda, you're on.
Hi, good afternoon. I have to bounce it back to basketball, and actually men's basketball.
Well, all right.
Despondent Syracuse University alum, didn't know what to do with myself in the tournament here. So I've got to ask my colleagues there on the panel, who probably have Orange on, how are they feeling about the SU men's basketball situation and Mike Hopkins' departure and Boeheim's retention forever?
Well, Linda, I can tell you that Mark certainly does not have Orange on. I'm pretty sure that my blood runs orange, so I'll field this one, and then Mark can pipe in with his negative comments about Syracuse since he loves them so much. I was shocked by the Hopkins move only because he's waited so long. When you wait this long, it's seemingly imminent that you're going to get this job, but at the same time, they offer him nearly $2 million a year to coach at Washington. He's from the West Coast.
Yeah.
You got to go. At some point, he's got to say, okay, what is better for me? He's not getting younger, that's for sure, and he's put in his time. He deserves a head coaching opportunity. He's passed up other head coaching opportunities, and I feel like maybe there's more that we don't know about that went on in the background, that as soon as that happened, you knew, okay, Boeheim's not leaving. And lo and behold, 8 hours later, Boeheim was extended 3 or 4 more years through 2022.
How old is Boeheim?
He's 72.
Yeah, he's 71 or 72.
Yeah.
And he's got 4 more years on the contract now?
I believe they extended him through 21-22.
It was, and I think Ashley kind of hit on it. There was had to be a conversation with Mike going, "You ready to go, Jim? Ready to leave?"
Right, and he said,
Jim,
"No,
Jim. You said you were going to leave. You're going to leave."
Yeah.
And he just
Hopkins, that seems to be the recurring conversation. Yeah.
And Hopkins just threw up his hands, which is unfortunate for him because he turned down. Two jobs. He turned down St. Bonaventure. That's okay. My alma mater,
which is
always I have Schadenfreude when anything happens with Syracuse.
I have a dear friend who's a St. Bonnie alum and hates the Orange with that kind of vengeance. So I understand.
There you go. But I think Hopkins will do a great job with Washington. He's a very good coach.
Linda, thanks a lot for the call. 800-348-2551. Disappointing though, Syracuse.
Yeah. And like Mark said, there had to be a conversation that happened, but I did read an interesting article that said basically that Boeheim's departure was essentially punishment handed down from administration for all the stuff that went on behind the scenes that they were punished for by the NCAA. And that was part of it. Like, okay, you are now going to gracefully go 3 years from now. And he was never okay with it. And so the article that I read made it interesting because Hopkins was aware that he wasn't okay with it. And this was supposedly, from this article standpoint, a loyalty thing by Mike Hopkins saying, like, well, he doesn't want to go. I'm not going to take my mentor's job if this isn't something he wants to give up. So I'm going to go elsewhere and get mine. You know what I mean?
And get his two mil.
Exactly. And then you leave it up to Syracuse what they do with Boeheim.
Let's take a quick break here. 800-348-2551 is the number. Mark McGuire, Ashley Miller, and you. And the sports show hits the home stretch in a moment.
Support comes from Waterwheel Village, Galway, New York, a country store since 1923, offering aged cheddar cheeses, nostalgic candies, New York products, and gifts. WaterwheelVillage.com. ClipCentric Albany, a local video services division of ClipCentric, producing video advertisements for businesses throughout the capital region for web, mobile, and TV. Albany.ClipCentric.com. The Henyon Bakery, Amherst, since 1993, offering hearth-baked whole grain breads, pastries, birthday, wedding, and special occasion cakes, as well as gluten-free offerings. HenyonBakery.com. Penny Farthing Investment Management, Amherst, a socially conscious, fee-only investment advisor of personal retirement and endowment portfolios, including the Bright Penny Community Strategies, brightpenny.org. The New York State Bar Association's Lawyer Referral and Information Service, celebrating over 35 years serving the public, nysba.org/lawyer-referral. And Vision Excel Eye Care, Lake Katrine, exams, eye care, dry eye therapy, and now new American-made frames, where eyewear is an art. VisionExcelEyeCare.com.
Vox Pop on WAMC. Yeah, it's the sports show and Dynamite Radio. It's been Ray Graff here with you at 800-348-2551. Mark McGuire of the Daily Gazette in Schenectady. Ashley Miller of News Channel 13. What do you think so far as your first sports show here?
It's been a good experience. Yeah? I come back, yeah.
I mean, when Iorizzo's here, it's a much more, I would say, intellectual place.
Well, he went to Syracuse.
Oh, did he?
He did.
Oh, you see, I didn't realize.
We're an intellectual people.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just kidding.
All right. McGuire has been harping on this behind the scenes now for several hours. The NFL draft is coming up. What the heck?
Several hours.
What do you have to say about
the NFL? Yeah, I just hang out here all day.
He wants to talk about the NFL draft.
Yeah. What do you want to talk about?
No, this is actually a part of a broader thing, that this is just my favorite time of year.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
This couple of weeks where you have the Final Four merging right into opening day, and you had the transition of the seasons from winter to spring and summer. You have the Masters coming up. And, yes, I'm a dork. I could tell you who the Jets should draft in the fifth round.
Yeah, I thought that's what you wanted to do.
Well, I could if you want. I mean, Sam Rogers, Virginia Tech fullback. Yes, that's who they should draft in the fifth round.
All right.
But the idea of all these coming in, you know, you could Super Bowl as a national holiday? No. I'm taking off opening day /national championship of college basketball. That's the day I take off.
Okay. Well, all right, we'll see. Maybe I'll call in sick on Monday. We'll meet you down at the pub, and we'll all watch that. The Giants. Who do the Giants draft? When will the Giants draft the quarterback of the future? That's a question.
I don't know, but Geno Smith's not the answer, that's for sure. And they've let
I don't even know if he's a question.
They've let Ryan Nassib sit around there for 5 years.
And he's
and
done,
I don't
right?
think he I don't think he was ever the answer. I just don't think – I don't know that there's a wow me quarterback in this draft that is going to fit into that system, because Trubisky's going to go in the first round, and I still don't think if I was a team I wouldn't waste a first-round pick on him, because he's not – I don't know that he's a sure thing. Although, what's a sure thing in the NFL anymore? There have been a lot of those that haven't panned out. So I don't think it's this year that it's going to happen, but I don't know.
But you don't need to go first round.
I
mean,
no.
What was Brady,
I don't think
a sixth rounder?
Sure, but how many Tom Brady's of the world? You know, I mean, there's a Deshaun Watson. He'll probably go in the second or third round, but I still don't think there's anyone who is like a Brady who has maybe flown under the radar, is mechanically great, but just needs to find a system.
There's a couple of quarterbacks you could find in later rounds. One is Patrick Mahomes. He's a second round pick. You know, there's questions if he's a system quarterback. Remember Pat Mahomes, a relief
Texas
pitcher?
Sure.
Is he Texas Tech?
His son.
Yep, really? You're
Texas
kidding
Texas
me.
Texas Tech, yeah.
Yeah, he's Texas Tech. Another guy is the guy he beat out at Texas Tech who transferred to California, Davis Webb, who I like, who could be available from the fourth round on. These are guys who could be available in later rounds.
But is it necessary? In other words, when does Eli Manning hit that wall that his brother hit, where suddenly he couldn't?
It could be any time.
Right.
Once a quarterback gets over the age of 35, they're ticking time bombs. Yeah. This is why all three teams in that class of 2004, the Giants, the Chargers, and the Steelers, they all have to look for replacements now.
Yeah.
Now, they may not hit upon him. I wouldn't be surprised if the Giants took a flyer on a quarterback in the first round.
Oh, I would be. I'd bet you a beer on that.
That's
I would
crazy.
Not be. I would not be shocked. If a Mitch Trubisky fell to 25, I would not be shocked that the Giants took him. Absolutely not. I'm sorry, to
That's
23.
That's not the Giants' way. That is not the Giants'
it's
way.
It's not the Giants' way, but it's value. You'd have to strongly consider it.
Yeah, I just think first round is immediate need, because your first and second round players separate themselves so much from the rest of the draft. And if you're going immediate need, quarterback's not immediate need.
No.
If Mitch Trubisky falls to your second or third round, okay, then we can talk.
A, that's not going to happen.
Sure.
B, the classic example is a quarterback falling in the first round that was taken by a team that definitely did not need one. Was the Green Bay Packers taking Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
So you have a guy, if Trubisky falls to 23 in the Giants, I would not be shocked. I'm not saying they would. I mean, it depends who else is on the board. I would not be shocked that they would. The Chargers are not taking a quarterback at 7. That's way too high. That's not going to happen. The Steelers at 30, I wouldn't be shocked if they took a quarterback.
So all of those guys are at that stage, and the only question is which one will drop first.
Right, all at the same time.
Our number is 800-348-2551. We're joined by Ashley Miller of News Channel 13 in Albany and Mark McGuire of the Daily Gazette in Schenectady. Let's go to Nelson in Rome, New York, home of the Bocce World Series headquarters. Nelson, you're on.
Hey, you know your stuff.
Yeah, man, I've been there many times.
And you?
Well, I haven't actually played, but I've been by it.
Well, I work in a food booth. Say hello next time you're there.
All right, man.
Thanks for now. Lefty versus righty. Yeah. I was born a lefty, but my father, for some reason, didn't want a left-hander in the family. So my brother told me he made me a right-hander. And then when I got a bone chip in my elbow when I pitched in high school, I just tried being left-handed for the heck of it. And I was just as good. That's amazing.
Wow.
When I went in the Army, this doctor told me the reason that they're slightly different, at least throwing, and I guess hitting too, is the left side of the brain is never exactly the same as the right side of the brain, and that's why lefties and righties can't do the same things like hit low balls or high balls. You mentioned that before.
So can you do things equally with your left hand and right hand?
Just about.
So
the only thing I didn't do is write. I can't write left-handed.
So like the
takes a lot.
So like the famous headline, you're amphibious.
Amphibious. Yeah, that's good. Well, that's an interesting
call. As far as bowling or tennis, ping pong.
Wow.
It's just amazing. But there is a little difference. So That came from a doctor. That's all I can say.
But can you play bocce? Can you play bocce with both hands?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
All right, man. Well, thank you, Nelson. We appreciate the call. 800-348-2551.
You got bocce in. That's a new one, by the
way. Yeah.
You've never gotten bocce. You've got to add that to our list.
You've never been to Rome, New York. World Bocce Ball Championships, right there. The I don't know whether they call it a field or not. I guess they would call it a park. It's
pitch.
Right there.
Like a pitch, yeah. Maybe.
Yeah. But enough about bocce ball. Let's go to Wanda in Gilderland. Wanda, you're on.
Hey, Ray. How you doing?
Oh my God, it's the famous Wanda from WAMC. Nice to have you here.
Yes, it is. And I just want to say that I just have a comment, not a question. And that is about 50 years ago, I had wanted to be a sportscaster. And so I just want to make, it was very, very hard for women to break into sports writing or sports casting or anything like that. And I just wanted to thank you for having a woman on the show today who absolutely knows her stuff backwards and forwards.
Yeah.
And I am so proud of that WAMC invited a woman on the sports show. And, by the way, I am absolutely not a Yankee fan, as you well know.
Absolutely.
And annoyingly so. And also the one thing that you didn't bring up about the weakness in the Red Sox is that they have a very big weakness at third base. So thank you very much for having a woman on the show, and thank you for being for doing something that I was never able to do.
Well, Wanda Fisher, let's give her a golf applause.
Thanks, Wanda.
Very nice. Do you have anything to say, Ashley?
Well, I appreciate that anytime that a fellow female kind of sticks up for. And Wanda clearly kind of paved the way. I feel like Wanda paved the way in a lot of ways. Even though she maybe didn't get to where she wanted to be, she was a woman back in the day who said, this is what I want to do, and this is what I aspire for, and pushed for good things. And I always appreciate that. And I like hearing that she likes hearing me on the radio. And hopefully I can make her proud.
Mark. You know, this market has had a lot of female sports people involved. You go back to Liz Bishop. Laura,
that's right. She started with sports.
Yep. Yeah. Laura Vesey as a columnist with the Times Union. You have Marissa Jacks with Spectrum now, who's very, very well respected. I see a lot of these people in the field, and it's nothing but respect for what they do and how they go about their job as colleagues. You've seen a lot of trailblazers in the past. I don't view Ashley as a trailblazer at all. I just view her as a colleague and a very good one.
Thanks, Mark. And there, actually, I would say the Albany market is kind of, I would say, a little bit of an aberration. There's a female in every television station sports team in this market.
I've left at
all
least
four, and there's a female in every single one of them. And I think you'd be hard pressed to find another market that had that. So,
it's not even something that you
really think
about.
Yeah.
Now, did you know that Wanda Fisher was public address announcer for a game at Fenway, a Red Sox game?
I didn't.
We have an article, and I don't know if I've ever actually talked to her about it, but it was a couple of seasons ago, and she did public address at Fenway, which was pretty cool.
That's cooler than anything I've done, that's for sure.
As long as she didn't play any of that folk music between innings.
Don't get me started.
I don't think the Fenway fans would. Let's go to Steve in Pine Bush. Steve, you're on.
I'm a neuroscientist, and I've had a long-standing interest in the differences between the left-hand and the right-hand side of the brain and how it might explain being left-handed versus right-handed.
All right, sir.
And with all respect to the previous callers who think there's a difference and may have read about a difference, there's very, very little, if any, information in the scientific literature to support any difference in the brain of right-handed versus left-handed people. And there have been people studying this for decades. The left-hand side of the brain, the only thing we really know in terms of the difference is that most people have a left-dominant brain in terms of things like language. But in terms of right-handed versus left-handed, there's very little evidence to support a difference in the brain.
All right. So what in the brain determines whether someone is left-handed or right-handed, or is that just environment?
The literature is very unclear about what exactly it is that determines left versus right-handed. There's a lot of developmental literature that suggests that it may be exposure to specific hormones during development in utero. There's evidence in other animals that there are genetic factors involved. For instance, in dogs and cats, most of the males are left-handed and most of the females are right-handed. They don't know why, but they show a very specific preference to doing things with one paw versus another. There's some evidence that originally suggested that the communication between the two sides of the brain, because the two halves of the brain are connected through the corpus callosum, that connection may play a role in right-handed versus left-handed. But when you look at kangaroos, they don't have that connection, and they're almost all left-handed.
I had corpus callosum in my bingo card.
Did you really?
For what would be said on this sports talk show today, so I actually won.
I got to tell you, Steve, that was a cool call, and we really appreciate it very much. Thank you very much for that. And, you know, Ashley.
Who would have thought? I mean, I've learned more about the brain, I think. I'm not really sure. I feel like we've almost circled back, though. So, after all, Mark and I were right. It just looks different to a left-handed and right-handed person,
you're
really, is what
right.
he says.
So you're right.
The thing is, Ashley, this is what public radio is all
it's
about.
Awesome.
We'll come, we'll talk about sports, and then we'll get into neuroscience.
And then we'll dissect the brain.
Try that on your TV station, huh?
There you go.
All right, let's get our final four picks here. First for the women, and first game is Stanford and South Carolina picks. Ashley.
I'm going to go Stanford. I'm going to ride the hot team who just beat Notre Dame. I'm going Stanford.
McGuire.
I'm going Stanford as well. South Carolina's they're a relative newcomer to the Final Four, even though they are the top seed. I'm going to go Stanford as well.
You're both wrong. South Carolina wins that one. And we'll go to Mississippi State against UConn. I think we all know.
Going UConn.
I'm going UAlbany.
Yeah. All right.
By the way,
the Great Danes.
You know, I didn't actually see the footage, but I read the accounts of the UAlbany women's team and their reaction when they drew UConn right away.
I was
away.
There.
They
it
laughed.
It was one of the great moments ever. They're very cool people on that team, and it was a very sincere reaction. It wasn't mocking them. Keep in mind, UAlbany is the only team in America that has won 6 straight conference titles, and that includes UConn.
Wow.
This is a good basketball team.
Absolutely.
But they kind of knew, like, oh, this is great.
Oh, well.
We're dead.
All right, the men's Final Four held in Phoenix, and we have South Carolina and Gonzaga at 6:09. Who likes who?
I'm going to go dark horse and go South Carolina, even though we talked about Gonzaga having an advantage.
I'm with you. Gonzaga is due to explode. I've been saying it for weeks. It's going to happen.
I have such great respect for both of you, so I have to say you're wrong.
Good.
Okay, so you're taking Gonzaga.
This is why sports is fun.
It is fun, but we don't have the beers. Oregon, North Carolina.
Ooh. I so want to take Oregon, but I can't. I so don't want to take North Carolina, but I have to. It's just the size matchup.
I'm going to go Carolina as well.
Absolutely. And I think my pick to win it all would be North Carolina at this point. Yeah?
Mine also.
Gonzaga.
Don't say it. No, that's wrong. All right. Quickly, in the last minute or so, let's just look ahead to baseball. And over, under, Yankees wins. McGuire.
85.
Ashley.
You want me to pick over or under, or you want me to give a number?
Over or under 85. McGuire said it.
Oh, okay. I'm going to go over.
You're going to win more.
I'm going to go over.
How about the
I'm
Sox?
I'm a Yankees fan. I'll go over on that as well. You want a number, though. 88.
Yankees make postseason? I say yes.
Yes.
Absolutely not. And for the Sox, 88, over.
How about the Metsies?
88.5 is the over-under.
They will be above that and win the division.
Ooh.
Yeah.
The Mets will win the division.
If they're healthy.
The Mets will win the division by 15 games if they are healthy.
Yep.
I could say that because they won't be healthy, so they won't win by 15
right.
games.
You know what? You're a Mets fan. That is really, 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 really accurate. That usually is what happens. All right, McGuire, thanks a lot for being here, sir. We'll see you in the Gazette.
Yes, you will.
Ashley, great job
on
your first.
See you on TV.
We'll probably never see you again here.
That's
because
not
you probably
true.
Were appalled by all
no.
the
girls. I'll be back.
You treat her nice, man. I'm the one who should not be coming
well,
back.
Yeah. Well, you know, but if we get her and I are Rizzo and we get McGuire out,
oh, yeah, there's
we
a
might
Syracuse
really
overload.
Might have a show.
Paint the walls orange.
Support comes from Identity Eyewear, Albany, New York, specializing in distinctive eyewear, including Zenka from Paris and Coco Song from Italy. Eye exams by appointment, EYEDENTITY, eyewearalbany.com. Vermont Coffee Company, offering slow-roasted organic coffee in the brown paper bag at local grocery stores. Vermont Coffee Company, coffee roasted for friends. Careers in Transition, LLC, Albany. Dr. Tom Denham, providing individual career guidance, career testing, job strategies, interview preparation, LinkedIn lessons, resume and cover letter writing, careersintransitionllc.com. And Dance Flurry, Family Dance, this Sunday at 3 p.m., First Congregational Church, 405 Quail Street, Albany, featuring participatory dancing and singing games with live fiddle music, danceflurry.org. Thanks again to Ashley and Mark for being here. Thanks to you for listening. Thanks for all the great calls about neuroscience and whatnot. Thanks to Zach Molloy, our engineer, who is now, it's a hat trick, three shows in a row you stayed awake the whole time. Beautiful job. Your phones were well done on the phones today. Super job. Super job. We may or might not be back tomorrow at 2. We'll find out.